WVIP HD4, New Rochelle.
Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets practical and personal, here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. Folks, for those of you joining us for the first time, this show is about transitions and how the science and psychology of branding can help change your relationships for the better, your career or business for the better, your life for the better, so that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. And during the hour, I want to provide you with some branding and marketing gems that you can use as you go through the marketplace. And this is a call-in show, and it's your show, where we want to hear from you and your brand and how you can go brand yourself on your business or in your business. And now, in the interest of full disclosure, occasionally I'm going to have some callers who I've asked to call in, so that the full range of what we can do here on Brand Talk can be appreciated. And also to get you to think about all concepts of branding. And so if you're going through a transition, we would love to hear from you. If you want to talk about your brand, there may be a personality brand. We lost a great brand, Whitney Houston, this last week. Maybe you might want to talk about Whitney. Maybe you want to talk about a music. Maybe there's another personality brand that you want to talk about. Well, give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Or you can email me at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. Well, folks, what I want to do today is to give you share with you a secret that I have learned, that I learned probably about 20 years ago. And I should say I heard it 20 years ago, but I probably only implemented it within the last 5 years. But it seems to be like a, I wouldn't say a bad penny, but it keeps coming back up. And it's the concept of three. And I can remember this colleague of mine, he was an accounting guy. And every once in a while, accounting guys and gals can teach you something. I have a very, very dear friend who's a partner at one of the big four accounting firms. And boy, is he one of the brightest guys I know. And he's one of those, and not that accounting people are not sophisticated, but they're numbers people. And that means that there's a whole different way of looking at the world. But this accounting, and I guess... this will explain to you why I'm saying what I'm saying, but it was very profound. And it was, he said to me, John, you have to understand one thing. One third of the people you meet will like you, and one third of them, and he said this, I didn't, will hate you, and one third will not give a darn one way or the other. So that the secret, John, is to meet as many people who like you so that they will buy your services. So meet people who like you. Hang out with people who like you. And it's the one-third, one-third, one-third theory. And, you know, I did implement that. It's because it does talk to us as brands, personality brand, and probably as you go through life, you will find out that you and this is something that is pretty hard to understand, but it's true that not everybody is going to like you, no matter how charming, no matter how good looking, no matter who you are. There are just going to be somebody that just doesn't like you. And so, as Cher said in the movie Moonstruck, snap out of it. You just got to accept this. And anyway, I was reminded of this, what I call the effect of three, a third, when listening to Freedom Watch the other night, when my dear friend, Judge Andrew Napolitano, stated that at the time of the revolution, are you ready for this? I did not know this. That's why I, that's another part of the show, which we'll do later. Which was at the time of the revolution, one third of the population wanted independence, one third was against independence, and one third just wanted to do nothing. Okay, and then that reminded me of what's going on today in our situation. Right, we have one third who are Democrats, one third who are Republicans, and one third are independents. And so this got me to scratch the bottom of my chin and say, very interesting. What does this mean if you're a marketer? Well, it means that if you have a brand, okay, and remember, branding is part of marketing. And by the way, you're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. And if you like to call in and give your opinion on the one-third theory in terms of sales, branding, and marketing, give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Or you can email me directly, and I am manning the email station on my iPad. Not iPod. I have my iPod, which I might use as a prop a little bit later in the show to let you know what kind of music I listen to. And maybe you care, maybe you don't care, but I think you might care because it gives you the and this is the wonderful thing about personal branding. It tells a lot about somebody and what they listen to. It gives you a, it fills in the blanks. So, yes, I love Frank Sinatra. Yes, I like Tony Bennett, but I also love club music. And that's another thing. But anyway, 914-636-0110 or doc at brandtalkradio.com. So the issue comes up with this one-third is what do you do? If you're selling your product or service and you got one third of the market, how do you get the other two thirds? Well, I don't think it's you don't need a PhD in psychology or marketing to realize that you go after what they call the low hanging fruit. So you go after the one-third that are neutral to you, that really are not going to give you too much of a resistance. And then you go for the last third. But when doing that, you have to remember a few important keys and secrets or tips or basics or fundamentals when it comes to marketing that sometimes people lose in the heat of battle. And that is number one, for all intents and purposes, you have to be a positive brand, not a negative brand. All right. And if you don't believe me, look at, and that's what I like to do. That's what I think I bring to the party here at Brand Talk, that I take the principles that Fortune 500 companies have used to market their products and services, and so that we can apply them to market ourselves, either in your personal life or your career life. So let's get back to the packaged goods company. Remember a few years ago, 7-Up came up with the campaign, the Un-Cola, we're not like cola. Never went anywhere. Now, yes, they got a significant part of they exceeded expectations in terms of what they wanted to do in terms of market share. That's what that's called corporate speak for. We really didn't do and really meet what we wanted to meet, but nevertheless, it was a good try. So you must be positive. Secondly, you have to do research and find out what it is that the target market that you're going after, what they want, and how that may, in fact, be different from who you're presently selling to. And the third part, and you do that by research. And you can either do that, what we used to say in the business, quantitatively by doing a survey, or qualitatively by doing a focus group. If you have a small business, you don't really do a focus group. You ask your customers when they come in the store, and you accumulate data. And that's how you take this data and you make heads or tails out of it, so that you can start a campaign and begin to go brand yourself or market yourself. And the last is, you have to always be true to your brand and never be something that you're not. So I have mentioned a few times in the old days, I tried to be something I wasn't. I tried to talk slowly. I tried to change my distinctive voice or mannerisms, and it really didn't come off as true. And so what you have to do is simply embrace yourself. And so what does that mean in terms of you being you having a business? Well, if you're a house painter, you may be a great house painter, and you might not be a great commercial painter. You might not be able to do the businesses the right way, because it may be square footage might be too much. You might need added employees. You might not have the equipment to deal with the higher ceilings. Whatever it is, you have to understand to thy own brand be true, and whether or not it's your personality or whether or not it's your business. Don't do something that you're not qualified to do. And then the third and probably the most important is to provide and reinforce a benefit to your target market. And if you, for example, I can remember in the old neighborhood, and this guy, the painter, we're going to call him Louis. I know his last name, but I'm not going to use Louis. And he was called Louis. And Louis was this German painter. And you would, and as my relatives would say, you looked at his drop cloths, and there was not a speck of paint on the drop cloths. This guy was impeccable. So that if I were doing the branding for him, okay, I would come up to, I am the painter who doesn't leave you with a mess. And it's not necessary. And what the play on a mess is that you can look at that or see that in terms of sloppiness, or there's not going to, in fact, be. And because he was such an organized guy, he wasn't going to give you a job that you weren't going to be happy with, and that you would have to get another painter to fix. So that would be very, very important if you have a small business to take a salient feature that you do that nobody else does and you promote the heck out of it. And that is the essentials of branding. Remember when I talk about brand, noun, adjective, and verb, and that a brand is more than a name? Well, here is a great example of it. So you have a name. What comes to mind when you mention the name? So when I say Louis the Painter, you knew he was the guy that wouldn't leave you with a mess. And then the question was, how did he promote himself? He had everybody in the neighborhood know that what you wouldn't do is call anyone else but Louis the Painter. So that's the secret between a one-third, one-third, one-third. And perhaps even the presidential candidates might learn a little something. Maybe they should even be listening to Brand Talk here on WVOX, where you can listen to us every Wednesday between 3 and 4, 1460 on your AM dial, and ask for Dr. John Tantillo. And so we would love to hear from you, 914-636-0110 or doc@brandtalkradio.com. And we have a lot to talk about today. We've got a winner and loser, which I'm sure we're going to get some calls about that, as well as we're going to talk a little bit about Whitney Houston. We're going to talk a little bit about the Grammys, what I listen to. I'm you know, at 60 years of age, I'm probably more hip than I was at 20 years of age. At 20 years of age, I wasn't listening to the Grammys. It's incredible. And now I am. And what's even more mind-boggling is that I have probably a good 70% of the nominees, the Grammy nominees, on my iPad, which is probably good. That's not to say I don't have the traditional folks. But anyway, 914-636-0110. This is John Tantillo when we're here at Brand Talk, 1460 on your AM dial. And before I get into anything else from a personal perspective, I received two wonderful Valentine's Day wishes. One from my dear friend Alice, who is, what can I tell you about Alice? Alice is just one of those people in the world that she's a wonderful brand, a wonderful person, and just a great friend. And that's, when I talk about this next person, Celeste, it was probably not that we can weigh one Valentine's wish more than another, but Celeste finally got back to me because she had undergone some treatment for cancer, and she's now doing very, very well. And she called me and wished me a happy Valentine's Day, and it was very, very moving. And she is like a young Doris Day. I said this morning to my friends at the New York cardiac rehabilitation, I said that Celeste reminds me of Doris Day, and they said, a Doris Day today or Doris Day 50 years ago? And I said, you know, I'm going to clip you one. But, of course, I meant Doris Day of 50 years ago. Anyway, so Celeste, thank you for that wonderful wish. And Alice, thank you for that wonderful wish. And we'll talk a little bit more about Valentine's Day and what maybe you did not know about Valentine's Day after the break. But without any further ado, what we have to do is get to our winner and loser of the week. Here on Brand Talk, WVOX, and this is John Tantillo talking about all things branding and marketing. And so each week I choose two brands that I believe have either exceeded or failed in basic brand fundamentals so that you can implement the takeaways into your own brand life. And so without any further ado, let's talk about the winner and loser of the week. Well, the winner was JCPenney. No. This isn't a replay of last week's or a mistake from last week, because last week I said that JCPenney was a loser, thanks to my friend Nick, who told me about those terrible screaming ads. Remember that? Well, that was last week. What a difference a week makes. Well, JCPenney really came to the plate on this one. And what had happened was they basically stuck with their spokesperson, Ellen DeGeneres, despite the firestorm of controversy. And, you know, the secret, I think, when you're in the middle of a crisis management situation is to always worry about your target market. What's your target market going to respond to this? Not what some fringe group is going to say, but what is your target market? Those people that shop, your customers, how are they going to feel about the situation at hand? And once again, this one-third comes into play. I'm pretty good at this, you know. My mother would now be cracking me for saying something like that. But this is what is good here. What we're doing is we're reinforcing concepts on so many different levels. So let's just put aside that one-third, and let's analyze what happened with Ellen DeGeneres 2 weeks ago. Well, it seemed that this group called the 1 Million Moms protested Ellen DeGeneres being the spokesperson for JCPenney and urged people not to frequent JCPenney and not to buy JCPenney. And I really have problems with this, but here we go. Because she was a lesbian. And she was not a good role model for people. And I just think that JCPenney, as a matter of fact, the president went on CBS with Charlie Rose, I believe, last week, or even maybe it was the beginning of this week. And I think it was last week. I think it was Friday. And said, no, we're sticking by Ellen. And because JCPenney is a store for everyone and for families. Now, you'll be saying, well, John, what are you talking about this one-third? Well, if you take my model, there's maybe, and I don't think there was, but let's give people who have a problem with Ellen DeGeneres a third, which I don't think that's true. We have to do some research. But even if it was a third, two-thirds are either not going to care or are going to be in favor of Ellen. So by JCPenney sticking by Ellen, they were in fact doing the smart thing because they knew their target market. And then we also have to say kudos to my friend Bill O'Reilly for basically saying the same thing, by basically saying that it's a marketplace decision, and that if people don't like Ellen DeGeneres as the spokesperson, then the marketplace will show that sales will decrease, and it's a business decision. It's not a decision based on a person's sexual orientation. So I just think that Bill O'Reilly did something great for his brand as well. And so that those are my two winners of the week. But what do you have to say about this? Do you think JCPenney was right? Do you think JCPenney was wrong about letting Ellen DeGeneres continue as their spokesperson? We want to hear from you. 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Brand Talk. 1460 on your AM dial. This is John Tantillo. So that's our winner of the week. But who could be our loser? Well, when I say this, I think you'll probably say, you know, you got something there. And here it is. Da-da-da-da. The loser is the cruise industry. And I think that that terrible tragedy in Italy by the Costa Concordia just was, something that is a wake-up call to the industry, and they have to do something about it. What they should do about it, we're going to discuss after the break. So more of winners and losers, more brand talk, and more your calls after the break.
And national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Lucero, promoting homegrown manufacturing.
Today you're selling products directly to customers in China, stamped with those words, made in America.
President Obama at a master lock factory in Milwaukee, saying the way to create new American jobs and boost manufacturing is to make it more attractive for businesses to expand in the U.S. He's calling for cuts for American manufacturers and higher taxes for companies that move overseas. The president on a three-day campaign fundraising trip. A former University of Virginia lacrosse player on trial for the murder of his ex-girlfriend, a former teammate of George Hewley, takes the stand.
The player tells the court Hewley had a blank stare on his face that night, that he had been drinking way too much on the day leading up to Yardley Love's murder. Prosecutors say Hewley beat her to death in a jealous rage, while the defense claims it was an accident.
Fox Radio's Evan Brown, Fox News. We report, you decide.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast Westchester County and the vicinity for this afternoon. We'll see mostly cloudy skies. Slight chance of a shower. Highs will climb into the lower 50s. Partly cloudy this evening. Overnight lows dropping back into the lower 30s. Partly to mostly cloudy on Thursday. Appear to some light rain possible in the afternoon. Highs into the upper 40s. Then becoming mostly sunny. Temperatures climbing into the lower 50s on Friday. Mostly sunny. Continued mild upper 40s on Saturday. Chance of some light rain 48 on Sunday. I'm Steve Pelletieri Jr. reporting for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
Have ways of making you talk right here at 1460 WVOX and worldwide at WVOX.com.
WVOX.
Back. Brand Talk, where branding gets practical and personal here on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands And we love to hear from you. 914-636-0110. Our winner was J.C. Penney by supporting their spokesperson, Ellen DeGeneres. There was a group called 1 Million Moms who thought that she was not a good spokesperson and role model because she was a lesbian. And I said it was a good thing for J.C. Penney to stand behind her. And the reason for that is probably because the majority of her customer of their customers were either supporting Ellen or really didn't have care one way or the other, using the principle of three that we discussed earlier in our opener here on Brand Talk. And that's what we like to do on Brand Talk, give you valuable information so you can take it to the bank and make you a better person, make your business a better business, and make you your career or make you a better professional. So on three different levels, from a personal perspective, from a business perspective, or from a professional perspective. Here we are. And we have my good friend Vinny on the line. Vinny?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I'm listening to you.
Okay, enjoying Vinny. Always wonderful to see you. Always have a different take on my my perception. So what do you think, Vinny?
Well, in terms of your winner and loser, I don't know about the J.C. Penney being a winner.
Go ahead.
What would you base your, I was listening to your reasoning for that, and if you could help me understand it a little bit better, what do you base your conclusion on that having DeGeneres as a spokesperson would not hurt their brand?
Because most people, because the reason that the 1 million the 1 million moms gave, that it wasn't because of her competence, it was because of her lifestyle.
Right.
I would say that most it's basically perceived as a as being discriminated against, and I don't think most Americans would go for that. What do you think about that?
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I'm wondering, why would J.C. Penney pick someone whose major claim to fame is that she has a TV show and that she is, a homosexual?
Well, I think that the decision was made without reference to that. Let me tell you something. My father, before he passed, I couldn't believe he was the kind of guy that really, how can I say this gently? Really didn't like a lot of people. And he would say to me, I like Ellen. She's good. And it was something about her that he liked. And I would presume that is what their thinking was, that she's a very likable person. And just because she belongs to a segment of the society that people maybe are not comfortable with, that doesn't mean that she should not be their spokesperson. That's a business decision that J.C. Penney, made, and they made it. Maybe there could be an argument made that perhaps she might not have been a good spokesperson for other reasons, but for you to single her out based on her lifestyle, I don't think most Americans would feel good about that.
Well, the question to me, though, is marketing is based on feeling and perception.
Yes.
And I'm sure there must be countless other potential
yes.
persons who
yes.
are in the public eye as a host of shows or whatever else that would be equally loved or beloved by the public, who would also carry the same kind of feeling that you say she carries, that I like her. But why would a company select someone who carries also some negatives? See, I don't see the upside.
Right. Well, let's put it this way. Time will tell whether or not you are correct. But
right.
The point is, it probably the 1 million moms, if they didn't like her as a spokesperson, probably could have done it a different way. But because of the way they did it, it actually gave it made DeGeneres look good, and it also made JCPenney even look better because they weren't going to discriminate.
Well,
and,
that may be in the public mind in the media, but mm-hmm. I think out in Kansas, I don't think it sells too well. But let me give you one example
sure.
of what I mean.
Sure.
A friend of mine I was speaking with the other day, and we were talking about our taxes and stuff, and he's a rather well-to-do guy, and he makes a lot of donations to people. And he told me that he was going to cross off his list I can't even remember the name, it's some sort of pancreatic research center. And I said, well, why would you do that? That sounds like very worth. He says, they have this spokesperson, Rosie O'Donnell,
yes.
who I think is a lunatic and a nut.
Right.
Why would this organization have someone like that? As I think, like, I can donate my money to other good causes.
Sure, sure.
And that, so I, I don't know why, I know some people, it's unfortunate, but. In the world of marketing, you got to go with what you got.
Yeah, but
and
see,
I don't know if
okay, but
that's a good idea.
The thing that I'm saying is that I believe that Ellen DeGeneres is a please, and I love Rosie O'Donnell, but is a much more attractive personality, or you're really comparing apples to oranges when I understand your point. And once again, that's a decision that should be a marketing decision.
Right.
It shouldn't be a reactionary decision
based on, not.
And
nothing to do with their lifestyle. For example, if somebody said, I'd like to have, some person who is a right-wing,
sure.
person who has a big, as a spokesperson, I think that would also be a bad
thing. I agree. Tantillo's rule about spokespeople is the bigger the appeal, the more conservative you have to be. I couldn't agree with you more. But I would, let me say this, Vince. I believe that there's research that JCPenney has that said that the way to go on this would be to support her because it would be a lot of people that would be a lot more hurt
right.
the other way than nevertheless I still see them as a winner. But
right.
Vince, I love you, your calls. Thanks for calling, and as always, it was provocative.
Well, I enjoy your show. A pleasure talking with
you.
Oh,
Vinny, thanks a lot. And that was Vinny, again, getting us all thinking and shaking us all up on WVOX, on Brand Talk 1460, on your AM dial. And getting back to my loser, the cruise ship, the thing that I didn't want to leave you hanging, and the most important thing that they can do right now, and by the way, they did a good thing by at least doing something. In other words, now what they require is before they even leave port, they do the exercise of getting into the lifeboats, not getting into the lifeboats, but doing a safety procedure. That's good. But I think that what you need is a little marketing here. I mean, they need a program called their Safety First program in which they communicate this to their customers or potential clients. I can remember how many of my relatives never wanted to go on a ship. Well, that might have been because they were in the airline industry, but that's another story. But the point was that They felt safer on a plane than they did on a ship. And I guess it was they were still thinking about the Titanic and, the, of course, in the 1950s, the Andrew Doria. And so even though there were so few, there was this, you know, in marketing, it's all about perception. And so what you have to do here, if I were advising the cruise ship industry, is to confront the issue and let customers know and potential customers know, prospects know what we're doing to address this safety issue. And even though there are rules and regulations, we go beyond the rules and regulations because, as I was told earlier today, every country has a different set of rules, and the most strict is the United States. So a lot of ships do not go by the American colors, right? They're not American ships. They sail for other countries, so they don't have to adhere to that. My point is that you preempt that idea by coming up with your own program. But what do I know? I'm only a marketing guy and branding guy. And I'm always told, what do you guys know about anything? So anyway, if you want to weigh in about Ellen, want to weigh in about JCPenney or the cruise ship industry, should they implement a stricter safety first program? Give us a call, 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110, or doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. So we're getting ready for my Did You Know That segment. And for those of you who are not aware of this segment in the show, it's where I discuss facts for your delight, amazement, and your continuing education. And so without any further ado, this week's Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, did you know that often a successful business results from a combination of two simple things, a single observation and the effort and commitment to turn that observation into an enterprise with legs? Let's travel back to 1847. That's the year Esther Howland of Worcester, Massachusetts, graduated from Mount Holyoke College. She was 19 years old, and someone sent her a fancy English Valentine. Esther loved the idea. Valentine's Day was only just becoming popular in the United States, but Esther was convinced that these cards could be mass-produced. Her father was in the printing and book business. He helped her order supplies while she imported lace and other decorations from overseas. She added her Valentine samples to her brother's sales kit for his next trip. Hoping for $200 in orders, Esther received a whopping $5,000. At first, she employed friends to meet the demand, but eventually she built an assembly line. Soon, her business was grossing $100,000 a year, a large sum for that time, and her Valentines became famous throughout the land. Esther became known as the mother of the American Valentine, and today, the greeting card industry annually gives an innovator the Esther Howland Award for a greeting card visionary. Approximately 190 million Valentines were sent this year, all thanks to a 19-year-old with a vision. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
We're back. It's Brand Talk, 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo. Brand Talk, WVOX Radio. We're here every Wednesday from 3 to 4. And now what I do, if this is your first time tuning in, we discuss the relevance or a takeaway. That's my good friend Charlie saying every time you say something, there should be a takeaway. And there should be practical implications. Thank you, Charlie. And that's why our show gets better and better each week, because everyone has ways of making me a better brand. And that's what really branding is all about. Listening to your customers, listening to your prospects, and thinking about what they're saying, and if it makes sense, implementing it. So why don't you give us an email? It's doc@brandtalkradio.com, doc@brandtalkradio.com. And I'm going to give you some behind the scenes, and I'll get into this, the takeaway. We have now a scoreboard or a board that I know the caller's name, the city, and the topic. I mean, talk about high tech. This is really cool. So there can't be any friends of mine calling here unless they change their name, their city, and their topic. So anyway, I just thought that we're getting very high tech at the station, thanks to Chris and Nick. Well, Nick is happy because I got him some rice pudding from a German delicatessen. So we'll have to find out whether or not it meets his expectations. And this is all about brands, right? Rice pudding, the German delicatessen brand versus the Greek diner brand, right? All kinds of different approaches to rice pudding. But anyway. So let's talk about our this takeaway from the story about St. Valentine's Day and Esther Howland. And her story is inspiring because it's all about connecting an observation with an opportunity and then seizing the opportunity. And you know, so many times, folks, you see something and you just let it fly by. You don't really analyze. It doesn't have the effect. And this where the action is in marketing and in branding is when you take a look at something and you begin to look at it and say either I can do it better, why is it being done that way? And a good example of that, as I remember as a kid, going to the stocking store for my mother's nylons. She would take me. I was 5 or 6 years old, and we would go, and she would buy her nylons with the small boxes that were in these small shelves, and she would go and buy her stockings, and then came legs. Yeah, legs, pantyhose, where you didn't have to go to a stocking store to buy your stockings or a department store. You could buy them in a supermarket. And the package was that of an egg. And they called it legs. Now, that is what I would call creative distribution. And like Howland, what the secret is, it's about focus. And once you've found that thing you want to do or believe that you should be doing it, you got to then, as they say in Nike, the Nike folks say, just do it. The trick is not surrendering. The trick is persisting. And it's all about responding to the cues in the market. And Howland knew, for example, that greeting cards and Valentine's Day had already began to catch on in England. And so that if it could work in England, it could be also a market in the United States. And so she responded, and the data came back, and voila, a industry was born. So the key, that is the key. Read the market, read demand, and if the market is there, then respond to it. And also remember to shape the product to the demand by reading those cues that might tell you of a new component that has to be, in fact, added. And so I believe when legs first came out, the pantyhose came out, they were of one color. And then they began to use multicolors. And so because they began to have greater acceptance in the marketplace. So anyway, I just think that this was a very, very interesting story. And I hope you found it interesting. But what do you think? You remember? Do you remember how legs first came into existence? Or do you have a creative distribution story of how we bought one product and one way, and now we buy it a totally different way? Give us a call on Brand Talk. My name is Dr. John Tantillo. You're listening to WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. That number, 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Or if you are email inclined, doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. So last week, before I at the last few minutes, and time flies when you're having fun, I had mentioned a new show that I had discovered thanks to the Super Bowl, and a buddy of mine that suggested that I watch this show, and it was called The Voice. And I don't know if you had the opportunity of listening to the show, but it's pretty darn good. And it's basically the professional version of American Idol, that the people that you see on The Voice have worked in the field. They may be working as backup singers. They may be for groups. They might have been working on a cruise ship doing solos. In other words, they're a little bit more far along than they would be an American Idol. I think, I'm sorry to say Jesus. The fellow who won in the first season of American Idol, he was that way. Something Taylor, not Taylor Swift, something Taylor. From Georgia, he had a professional band, but for the most part, The Voice is this show that I think has a lot of potential, and it's kind of like The Apprentice and American Idol combined, because what they do is you have these four singers, professional singers. One of which I found through the Grammys, CeeLo, who is a great, I think he's a really great singer. And then, of course, Adam Levine. And then they have two other, they have Aguilera and a country western fellow that I can't remember as judges. And what they do is when their backs are turned to the performer, and so they don't know how they look, and they listen to The Voice, and they buy in whether or not they want to coach them. And if there are multiple people or multiple judges that want to coach them, the artist has a opportunity to choose which coach they want to use. It's I think branding, marketing, teaching all in one. So if you should give it a read. I give it a look, I should say. I know I have a friend. My friend Alice does not like it, but she's a very how can you say it? She loves a different type of music. She's much more the American songbook kind of folk. She's not and I think this is more of Grammy music as opposed to American song music. But anyway, she wasn't too impressed. But I say give it a shot. I certainly like it, and which leads me to the Grammys on Sunday, which I would say I totally enjoyed. I got to tell you, it was very sad to see Glenn Campbell struggling. But he did a good job. But we all know that he has Alzheimer's. And, when I was growing up, the Glenn Campbell show was one show that we would watch. I believe it was on Sunday nights, if I could remember correctly. But he's a great guy. And the best to him and his family. And then, of course, I just love Chris Brown. And I'm talking about as an artist, not as a person, but as an artist. He's just so good. And, of course, we have to say a little something about Whitney Houston. And may she rest in peace. So, folks, I can't believe it. Another show. Another day, another brand. Next week, 3 to 4, Wednesdays, 1460 on your AM dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo saying it's always easier when you have marketing in mind.
Thanks for taking us with you.
I listen to your station all the time.